We're talking about the Ten Commandments. We started looking at that last week. And so this morning I want to kind of pick up from where I left off. But before I do that, two quick things. I want to introduce our new brother in Christ, Ben Reynolds. On Friday night was baptized into Christ. And also to remind us that next Sunday we're going to have a guest speaker. In my book, one of the true heroes of the faith, Dr. Mark Ottenweller, is going to be here next Sunday. He's going to be preaching. When it comes to loving the poor and serving the poor, in my opinion, he's in the top three. Great man of God, and you're going to get a chance to hear him next week. I can't wait. Let's invite our friends. It's going to be a great time next week. Amen. Amen. Exodus chapter 20. And the Lord spoke all these words. I am the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven above, on the earth beneath, or in the waters below. You shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sin of the fathers to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing love to 1,000 generations of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God, for the Lord will not hold you guiltless who misuses his name. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. 6 days you are to labor and do all your work, and on the seventh day is the Sabbath. Is a Sabbath to the Lord your God. On it, you shall not do any work, neither you, nor your son or daughter, nor your manservant or maidservant, nor your animals, nor the alien within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, but he rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and made it holy. Honor your father and your mother, so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving to you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his manservant or maidservant, his ox or donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. Like I said last week, we find the Ten Commandments both in Exodus chapter 20 and in Leviticus chapter 19. This is a quick review for those who were not here last week. Oops. Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments in Matthew 22 when he was asked about what is the greatest commandment. He says, love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. The first four commandments talk about our relationship with God, that vertical relationship. The remaining six talk about our relationship with each other and with other people. Are you with me? So when Jesus said the greatest commandment is to love God and to love people, he didn't leave this out. If anything, he summarized what we just read. Are you with me? Now, Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 5 verse 17 that he came to fulfill the law. Jesus came to fulfill the law. He said, I did not come to abolish the law, but to fulfill it. Because they were accusing him of breaking the law. The giving of the law, like I mentioned last week, was an act of kindness on God's part. Remember, they were coming out of Egypt after 400 years of slavery. They were becoming a nation. And God gave them moral laws. God gave them laws by which to use to worship him. God gave them laws to govern each other. It was an act of kindness. God gave them these laws not to make their lives difficult, but to really show them how much he loved them. Just like when we're raising our kids, we have a lot of unwritten laws. Are you with me? And we're trying to help them with. We do those things. We have those restrictions because we love them. Today they may not thank you. Today they may think you are not cool. But that's okay. I promise you, 20 years from now, you're going to be the coolest person on two legs. They are going to come back and thank you as a parent.
Because that's what I did when I grew up. Are you with me? After growing up, I understood all that stuff my parents were trying to tell me. Amen? The same thing is with God. God gave us these laws to help us out. Amen? Remember, this is not home. It wasn't meant to be home. We're on our way to heaven. That's our home. And he's put these things in the scriptures to help us to make sure that we make it to the end. We make it to the final destination. Are you with me? That's what the Ten Commandments and all of God's laws are all about. They were given for our benefit, out of love. And like I mentioned last week, 9 out of the 10 are repeated in the New Testament, except for the Sabbath. We're going to get to that in a few weeks. And you will understand why. Are you with me? Because again, sometimes people ask, do we still obey the Ten Commandments? Absolutely. All these laws apply to us. Amen? I got to keep moving here. The first commandment, we talked about this last week. The whole idea about God and God alone. He says, you shall have no other gods besides me. That's what he says. We talked about how the first commandment serves as the foundation for the remaining 9. If you get the first one right, the remaining 9 fall into place. We get into trouble because we violate the first commandment. We have other gods besides Jehovah. Besides the Almighty. That's the problem we run into many, many times, even as children of God. The problems the Israelites had back in the Old Testament is not different from ours. Their main problem was always idolatry, straying. And again, I use the illustration of marriage, where if you're married to a man or a woman, okay, a man does not marry a man, a woman does not marry a woman. That's a different day, different sermon. Okay, I know these days, quote unquote, they're trying to redefine what marriage is. God created Adam and Eve. Like I said before, not Adam and Steve, okay? So, that's a different day, different sermon. But when two people are married to each other, they're meant to stay faithful to each other. You cannot stray in that relationship. The same is true spiritually speaking. When we become disciples of Jesus, when we make Jesus Lord, we literally get married to him. Are you with me? And we cannot stray. We got to watch ourselves. Because the devil wants you to stray. He knows the consequences of adultery. Are you with me? We can't afford to stray. We got to stay faithful to God. That was a major problem they had. That's a major problem we have today. How do we violate this today? We worship ourselves. We got a human trinity. Me, myself, and I. That's what we worship. You're always number one. It is so unlike Jesus. And if you don't get off that throne that you placed yourself on, he's about to knock you off. You can mark that one down. I have seen it done over and over again. Because God will not share his throne with anybody of any one of us. Are you with me? He's king. We are the subjects. He's your majesty. Are you with me? He's king. So we can't worship ourselves. We can't worship other people. We live in a day and age where, I mean, celebrity is everything. I don't know, personally, I don't know what's happened to television. All these reality shows, to me, they're very boring. Why do I care what's going on in your life? I'm supposed to spend hours sitting there watching you? I got a life. I got stuff to take care of. I could care less what these guys are doing or what they think. But a lot of times we see them and watch that nonsense. We worship people. Oh, what's going on in, what's her name? Lindsay Lohan. As if I care. Oh, what's going on with Martin Sheen? I don't care. I don't. I hope you don't either. If you do, you need to get a life. How can we admire people that don't have the Spirit of God in them? What has this world turned into? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong to watch that stuff. But you got to watch yourself. Make sure that you're not just sitting there on a tube every day watching this nonsense. American Idol. As if I care. To me, let's talk about that for a second. I know I'm digressing. To me, the funny part in that show, honestly, is in the beginning. When they get all these guys who got no talent. And they show up and they're like, whatever. I mean, they're trying to sing. And obviously, the judges are, you know what, sorry. And they're like, my family told me I'm good. That's why I'm here. You guys are missing something. It's like, please, step out. It's amazing to me that people allow their kids and their relatives to go out and make a fool of themselves. I'm just saying. The point is, God must always be number one. We can't worship people, we can't worship things. Amen? The second commandment. He says, you shall not create any kind of carved image of anything in heaven above or on the earth below or in the waters below. He says, you shall not bow down to them or worship them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. That word also is also translated zealous. Okay? It's just like a lover, somebody who's made a commitment to somebody who's not going to share their love with somebody else. That's the way God feels. That's how he feels. Are you with me? We are to worship God without using any kind of images. You know, if you go back into history, a lot of the churches and cathedrals, really they were built starting around the 14th century. And, you know, you see all these images and all these stained glass windows and all these statues and stuff. That's where a lot of it started. Back in the first century, they didn't have church buildings. If anything, they met in each other's homes. Are you with me? And God is saying, you know what? I don't want you to use any kind of image to worship me. Remember where they were coming from. They were coming from Egypt. That's all they knew. The Egyptians had all kinds of gods. Ra being one of them. A lot of you saw the Prince of Egypt. Do you remember when Moses came before Pharaoh in the cartoon, Prince of Egypt, and said, let my people go? And then the Egyptian magicians also showed up. And before they, you know, put their, their sticks down, they did all this dance, Shekta, by the order of Ra, and they're doing all this stuff. That stuff is true in terms of all those gods. And God is saying, I don't want you worshiping me like the Egyptians were doing. Remember, that's all they knew. And he's saying, you know what? Don't use any kind of images. We got to be very, very careful. Amen? It's like the little kids. They were in the class one day, and they were drawing. And the teacher comes up to this little kid and says, what are you doing? He says, I'm drawing God. And the teacher goes, that's not possible. Nobody knows what it looks like. And the young man looks up at the teacher and says, they will when I'm done. You see, we're going to know what God looks like when we get to the other side. No picture, no sculpture, no carving could not even begin to describe him. That's why it's an insult. Whatever it is you and I can create to remind us of God, we could never really do it because it would be an insult. Are you with me? God is alive. Statutes are not. God is infinite. Statutes are finite. God is formless, the Bible says. He's formless. He's a spirit. How do you draw that? How do you carve that out? You can't. Are you with me? That's why all you and I can do is use our imagination. When we come together like this every Sunday, before that throne room that we read about in Revelation, there's someone is seated on top of it, and it gives all this incredible description. That's who we serve. You can't carve that out. You can't paint a picture of that. It's not possible. Remember, God's presence on Sinai was verbal, not visible. Moses just heard his voice. Not only was Moses trembling, the whole mountain was shaking. Again, that's why the Bible tells us, you and I, on the day of judgment, we need to pray that we can stand before the Creator. You and I, you're going to be trembling. You will tremble. I will tremble. Because the sight is going to overwhelm us. Are you with me? That's the guy that we say says, no images. No images can really describe him. It's not possible. Again, you read the story. Obviously, Moses goes up to get the Ten Commandments. By the time they come down, the people are like, hey, this leader, this Moses, we don't know where he went to. Aaron, we need you to make us a god. Okay? 40 days, that's all it took. 40 days, that's all it took. The people wanted a god they could see. See, and that's what we do a lot of times. We want a God we can see. But guess what? He's not like you and I. He's not human. He's invisible, amen? He's invisible. We got to be very careful that we don't create images of God in our hearts that's not scriptural. That's the point. Only God can make images of himself. And that's what he did in creating Adam and Eve. In Genesis chapter 1, you can write these verses down, verse 26 and 27. He says, let us make man in our image. That's what he did. The Bible tells us in Colossians 1:15 that Jesus is an exact representation of God. In other words, this God we call Father, if you put him in human form, this is what he's going to look like. That's who Jesus is. Are you with me? And then obviously, also in Colossians 3:10, Christians have been made into the image of God, the Bible says. But that's all he's doing. He can do that. We gotta be very careful that we don't make God in our image. There's a big difference. There's a big difference. We gotta watch out for idols of the heart. We would prefer a God that is not hardline. A God that is just always loving. A God that is always forgiving. And he's all that. But where's the justice? Where's the wrath? You can't take the love and grace without the wrath and the justice. It's the same God. Are you listening to me? The Bible says God is a consuming fire. And sometimes, as human beings, we do it. Oh, God is just this. Oh, God is just this. God is just this. God is always the gracious, always the loving. Stop it. Stop trying to create God in your own image. That is not the God of the Bible that I read about. Yes, he's loving. Yes, he's gracious. But he's also very just. He's very righteous. He will not tolerate sin. Are you with me? We got to make sure that we don't create these false images of God in our minds. We got to be very, very careful. Because you will suffer for it. You will not go unpunished. He will see to it. Remember, he can read your mind. I can't. Your wife can't. Your husband can't. I know, yeah, sometimes you do. You can tell what they're thinking. You can tell where they're going next. But think about a God who knows everything you're thinking. Even before you think it. He knows where you're heading. We got to be very, very careful. Amen? You know, I want to show something here. Jesus walked this earth over 2,000 years ago. I'm sorry, they didn't have any digital cameras back then. They had no Polaroids. I know when the Polaroid camera came out. The old one where you snapped it up front and then the thing would slide out. Some of y'all remember that. It's amazing. Back in the day, you take a picture, then you send it into the lab to get the photos. Now you take them, you can see them. We've come a long way. But the point is, what does Jesus look like? Seriously. What does Jesus look like? Who is this? I'm not trying to be funny, people. Who is this? This is an artist's impression. This ain't the Lord. Nobody knows what it looks like. That's the point I'm trying to get across to you. People spend money buying this stuff and putting their home saying, you know, I got Jesus in my house. I got news for you. You got somebody's uncle in your house. Nobody knows what it looks like. Nobody does. He was doing the Renaissance when they started painting. They started depicting him that way. Does that look like somebody from the Middle East from in your eyes? First of all, they don't have white skin. They have olive skin. Okay? It's very hot. I've been there. That's why they wear white, because it reflects the sun. It's very hot over there. Imagine going around, walking around all day. Dust, I mean, just whatever. He was a Jew from the Middle East. But see, a lot of times, in people's minds, that's Jesus. Some painters will even put a halo around his head, depicting that he's holy. We got to be careful. These are just images. God says, don't do it. Amen? Like I'll tell you, I've never had an image of quote-unquote God in my house anywhere. I know sometimes, again, churches, okay, you'll see a cross because Jesus died on a cross. But do you realize that back then, that was how they used to kill people? Today, they would inject you with a lethal injection. Strap you down and put poison into your veins and you die. That's how we kill people today. I wonder what if Peter and those guys came back today and they walked into the average home and they saw crosses. I wonder what they would think. I mean, think about it. Would you put a picture of an electric chair in your house? I mean, think about it. If I walked into your home or you walked into mine and you saw a picture of an electric chair, you're going to say, hey, Richard, what's going on here? What does that represent? Oh, that's the way my Lord was killed. Again, I bring that up because we got to be very careful. Well, is it wrong to have a church, a cross in a building? I don't think so. But that cross does not mean anything. Because hundreds of people were killed on it, including Jesus. Are you with me? We got to be very, very careful. Nobody knows what Jesus looks like. Okay? I did this also. Who is this? This is the third most photographed statue in America. The number one photographed statue in America is the Lincoln Memorial. The number two statue is the Statue of Liberty. This is the number three statue most photographed in America. That's John Harvard. That statue sits in Harvard Yard in Harvard University in Boston. But guess what? This ain't John Harvard. It's not John Harvard. The guy who created the statue, his name is Daniel French, if I'm not mistaken. He actually had one of his apprentices sit down and he carved them. Because they have no picture of John Harvard. And it's the third most photographed statue in America. That's it. A lot of tourists go and they rub their hands on the foot. Okay? That's one of the traditions. But you know what the students do? They pee. I'm not making this up. At night they get up there and they pee on the shoes. And every day people are coming, taking pictures and rubbing their hands on that stuff. I'm not making this up. But the point I'm making is, that ain't John Harvard. It's not him. It's somebody's uncle. Okay? So I'm saying this to you because you got to be very careful in terms of images you see and what you think is something may be something else. Are you with me? Let's talk about the next commandment. He says, you shall not use my name in vain. You know, Bible names have meaning. God does not want us to use his name in vain because all his names mean something. In a lot of cultures, your name means something. Where's David? David Collier. Go ahead and stand up. Okay? This young man's name is David. Okay? What if I told you that his mom and dad named him after David Copperfield, the magician? You would probably say, no. They named him after David in the Bible. Are you with me? Go ahead, have a seat. Okay? There are Daniels in here. There's Peters in here. All right? But most of us, we don't have biblical names. That's the truth. But in a lot of cultures, the names mean something. The same thing with God. Every name means something. His name reflects his character and who he is. That's why you can't use it or abuse it. Because you are abusing the name. You're misusing the name. Because in a lot of ways, if you think about it, your name is all you've got. When I was growing up, over and over again, my late mother would look at me and tell me in my native tongue, Roti omweniti wonche, which means, remember the son of who you are. Don't you bring shame on this name. Don't you bring shame on this family. That was what she was telling me. And I'm telling you, it kept me out of trouble. Growing up. Because I would say, you know what? Whatever it is I'm about to do or we're about to get involved in with guys at school, you know what? Nah, I can't bring shame to this name. I can't bring shame to my family. It kept me out of a lot of trouble. You see, God's name is to be revered. Now, this is not just any name like you and I. This is God Almighty. As a matter of fact, when you look at the Bible, he's got all kinds of names. Amen? In our speech, we got to be careful that we don't lower that divine name. In the Old Testament, for instance, a lot of times, God is called Elohim. Elohim. That reveals him as the strong and faithful creator in Genesis 1:1. Sometimes he's called Yahweh or Jehovah. Translated Lord, L-O-R-D. It reveals God as the eternally self-existent one. He's always been there. The Lord over all the earth and all the universe. And sometimes you will see the word Adonai. Obviously, translated in English to Lord. Again, that's just one reference I've given there. Reveals him as master, as the king of kings, and the lord of all lords. I remember 15 years ago, I did a sermon where I went through the names of God from A all the way to Z. It was very exciting studying it out. I need to go back and study it out because I'm writing a book right now. I'm putting all that stuff in there. So I need to go restudy it. But God is so vast. One name could never really describe him. That's why he's got so many. And he's saying, don't use my name in vain. Amen? We can't misuse God's name. We've got to be very, very careful. We can't use God's name to confirm a lie or to break a vow. Leviticus 19. We can't be speaking against God. Psalm 139, verse 20. We cannot speak God's name carelessly. We've got to be very, very careful. You know, sometimes, you know, you may be in a grocery store or something, and something happens, and then somebody says, oh my God. I'm like, what has God done to you? Will you stop that? Don't use my God's name in vain. But people do it all the time. It shouldn't be. Are you with me? It shouldn't be because God's name is to be revered. Obviously, we cannot use profanity. Colossians 3, verse 5 to 8. In vain means empty, useless, and without thought. Invoking his name without a worthy reason. We must never use God's name irreverently. Never. Amen? We got to be very, very careful. You know, many years ago, a soldier was brought before Alexander the Great for being cowardly.
And they brought him before the king. And Alexander the Great asked the soldier, said, "What's your name?" And the man said, "Alexander." The king says, "I can't hear you." The man says, "Alexander." "Soldier, I said, I can't hear you. What's your name?" And it's still a very timid voice. It says, "Alexander." And you know what the king said? He says, "You either change your name or you change your conduct. Because an Alexander was not meant to be acting that way." You see, I bring that up because what name do we bear today? Christians. When people look at our lives, do we reflect God? Or are we using this name in vain? Through living a hypocritical life, saying something and doing something else. You say you're a Christian, what does your life look like? We got to be very careful. The highest name is Jesus Christ. And my Bible tells me that one day, every knee will bow. And every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God. People either do it now. I mean, Friday night, Ben, before he was immersed in water, he stood up and he said it out loud. Jesus is Lord. That's what we've been called to go do. Amen? To help men and women acknowledge and make Jesus the Lord of their lives. And it's awesome when they do it voluntarily. Amen? They become a new creation. Now he's got the Holy Spirit living inside of him now. Amen? That's exciting. But let me tell you something. On the day of judgment, everybody on this earth, including every American president, including every earthly ruler, will confess Jesus is Lord. And go, hold on. And you know what the sad part is going to be? Then they are going to be condemned. We either do it now voluntarily or they're going to do it later by force. But every tongue will confess. Are you with me? We got to be careful that we do not use that name in vain. Mark Ortonwell will be preaching next week. I will pick up from there the week after. God bless you all.
Let's pray. God, thank you very much that we can approach you. God, I pray that we will do it in humility, that we will realize that you are God. You are the great that I am, that we cannot define you. We cannot try to contain you. And I pray that that we definitely will not try to take and impose our will or our views on you, but instead we search with everything we have to find out who you are, what you want, and how we can imitate you, how we can take who you are and reflect that to our families, our friends, everyone, Father. I pray that we can come before you and realize how great you are, how big you are, how you stoop down to take care of us, even the smallest among us. Father, you defy all logic because you are our God. We will serve you. We will follow you until the day we die, and then we'll come up and serve you some more. Father, we're grateful to have the chance. Help us to live our week like that, like you are our God. Help us to live our week just in gratefulness and live it to the full. We love you and we're very grateful for you and for each other. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed.